you want me to bring it up some?
Please. Yes, sir. I'm glad Eric's here.
Is that better?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. All right, so who was here on Wednesday night?
So good.
So good. Hallelujah. My wife, that lady, she didn't decide, but there was a funny story behind it. She preached solo on Wednesday night, her first solo time. We had done, I think we did Valentine's twice, right? Was it twice or just once? We've preached together twice. And usually I like to talk a lot, so I don't give her a chance. And so I didn't know how it was going to go. She did really good on the Valentine's, but Wednesday night, man. If you didn't see it, watch it. It's on YouTube, and it's on Facebook. And it'll be on Podbean sometime, probably tomorrow or maybe today. But nonetheless, she did a great job. I just wanted to say that because she's here. Oh, you know what? Where's that thing I dropped? There we go. Make sure all the lights are on. We're going to talk about joy today. Ooh. Come on. I am in a can. Eric, do I have to use the handheld? Oh, you got it. Hallelujah. It's good. We're going to talk about joy today. Well, three of you and two of them didn't seem too happy about it, but hallelujah. Joy. Woohoo! I don't know if y'all know this, but joy. Hey, so God goes like this. God's like, hey, look, I'm going to put some fruit in people. And they're going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, whatever. What is it? Love,
joy.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, too. Woohoo! Gentleness and self-control. I have spirit. How about you?
No, we have spirit.
We got spirit. I have it.
We
got spirit. How about you? So those are them. And so I look at the fruit of the spirit kind of like what's that stuff called? Ingredient list on your box of Frosted Flakes, right? Sugar, top one. Then wheat, right? So that's how I look at it. And so if the fruit of the Spirit is like the ingredient list of what's going on in your life as God is making changes in your heart, it says love and then joy. So there's a lot after that, but if we can't get love down, then we can't get joy down. We can probably chalk up the other ones, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. Because with a lot of joy in your heart, it's real easy to be peaceful. When I'm joyful, like, it's not peaceful. I understand that. Poor Heather, right? I get a little wild, a little weird, woo, right? Kind of like how I feel right now. But if love and joy are the first top two, Pastor Ricky's been touching, I don't know if y'all picked this up yet, but Pastor Ricky's been touching on love quite a lot.
Yes.
Little cuts, right? And it's not meant to hurt. It's meant to help.
Amen.
But he sneaks it in from left field when he's talking about the spirit of the man. And he's like, hey, you can't be this way if you're not loving people.
Amen.
And he means like everybody.
Amen.
Everybody. The unlovable, God wants you to love the unlovable. God loved the unlovable. He loved you. He loved me. I'll say me because I don't want you guys to get offended. God loved the unlovable. He loved me, right? And I'm not talking down on myself, but there are times when I know that I am unlovable because it's a task to deal with me at times. Ask Heather, she'll tell you. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into scripture. So you don't think I'm just bumbling around up here. Did I already pray? Oh, yeah. Heather did not pray on Wednesday night, just so you know. She prayed at the end, but she did not start in prayer. And she has always... Mike was losing his mind up here because Steve and I were back there trying to get her to pray. But it's okay. She did great. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today. Lord God, I ask that I would just deliver it how you gave it to me and that it would affect hearts and lives and that we would see a change in how we approach you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Simple as that's all you have to do, babe. And I'm just joking. So I might be in trouble. It's okay. I'm
a big boy. I can handle trouble.
It's not a big deal. I cook dinner often. Psalm 16:11. Not because Heather can't cook, but because I like to cook. Psalm 16:11. Just pick a version. It doesn't even matter. They're all good. I have it here in the Amplified Classic, but New King James is good. We'll go there. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's enough right there. All right. Cool, I got somewhere to be. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great day. In your presence is fullness of joy. If you'll get in the presence of God, you'll be full of joy. As simple as that. I don't have to sell it. It's right there. You don't have to buy it. You can either believe the word or you cannot. It's up to you. I didn't make it up. God said it. So in your presence is the fullness of joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Are we seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places? Where is Christ Jesus? On the what side, though?
On
the right side of God. So if we're seated with Jesus, we're at the right hand of God, and at the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. We have to understand that as a church. In order for us to continue to work, in order for us to reach the lost, we have to stop walking around defeated. We have to stop walking around hating people, even the unlovable. Because there is a joy in his presence. If we'll just get into the presence of God,
amen,
we can have all the joy that we want.
Amen.
All of it. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When Jesus went to the cross and went to heaven, he sat at the right hand of the Father. He placed us there with him. We're at the right hand of the Father. We have pleasures forevermore. Most people will assign this scripture to when we get to heaven. No! Forevermore! It wasn't lost when Jesus went to the right hand of the Father and we were seated there. It does not mean that we have to wait to get to heaven to have pleasures forevermore, because it says in his presence. And if we'll get in the presence of God, if we'll get into the word of God, we'll be in his presence. If we don't, if we'll stop just sitting there during praise and worship and like lumps on a log. If we just enter into the presence of God, we can have pleasures forevermore. We can be full of joy.
Amen.
Isn't that what we all desire for ourselves and our lives and our kids and our family members? To just be joyful? I have never run across any of my family members and been happy when they're struggling.
That's right, man.
I have never said, ha, well, I take that back. I lie. Ha, that's what he deserves. If I said it, it hurts me later. Let's be honest. There isn't anybody in your life that you should want to be in pain, that you should want to be unhappy. We should want all of God's people. I'm sorry. We should want everybody. I think we use that as a scapegoat. I want the people of God to be well. I just want people to be well.
Amen.
People are being manipulated by the system going on right now. People have lost their ability to be filled with joy because of the system right now. Because it doesn't matter if it's because you have no substance, if you've been hurt, if you are hurting. It's real easy to focus on the pain. We have to. If the church won't do it, nobody will. So as the church, we have to get past the pity party. We have to get past the moping. But if we won't do it as the church, How will a lost people ever do it? We need to, when things are rough at work, all the more you should smile. When things are rough at home, all the more you should smile. People should look at you and say, what is that person's problem? But because you're smiling and almost scary looking. Wide eyes like, yeah, woohoo, got that twinkle? That's where we should be. Ask yourself this. If at home, if we know that in his presence is the fullness of joy, and you're somewhere outside of the church, or even when you're in the church, because some of us, me included, get here, and maybe we're short with our friends or whatever. It's real easy to get offended at church, just so you know. The pastor didn't shake my hand. Clinton hugged that person and not me. Are you in the presence? Are you joyful? If not, are you in the presence of God? Are you making a habit of getting in the presence of God?
Yes.
Amen. I'm not saying that all day, every day, your head is bowed, you're constantly in the Word, but you should be in the Word every day.
Yes.
You can't do your job and read your Bible, especially like if you have to talk with people, right? Maybe a warehouse worker can have the Bible playing in their ears, but even then your boss might not want you to have ear pods in, right? That's okay. But we should be in the presence of God every day. It's real easy to just praise God, just walking along and singing a song.
Amen.
That's getting in the presence of God. That's what's important. That's what helps our walk to be stronger.
Amen.
That's what helps us be, if you'd let me say it this way, more successful.
Yes.
In being joyous.
That's right.
When I yesterday when I was studying, I had alone time. We have guests. They had something to do. Heather was here doing the tea party thing. And I was like, I could have gone and done a lot of things. I could have messed with my fish tank. I could have played with the dog. I could have done a lot of things. But I needed to make sure that I got in God's presence. So there's a group that I listen to because their worship is stirring. And I just put that on and I walked around my house. I opened my Bible and set it over in one place. I had my tablet open in the Bible and set that somewhere else. And I just walked around my house and I prayed. And the more I prayed, the happier I got on the inside. And I was filled with joy because I took an opportunity to get in the presence of God. That's what, as a people, as a church, we need to do. We need to do that every day. So if you're not in the presence of God, get there. It doesn't take a whole lot of work. Turn everything off. Now, I'm not talking about electronics, but everything else. Turn off the worry. I'm going to set this aside right now, and I'm going to get in the presence of God. Do it. If you'll get in the presence of God, you will have that.
Amen.
Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
That's what I do. When, hold on one second. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to read to you what joy is so we know. So you can get it kind of like a thermostat, if you would let me say it that way. Am I in joy? The passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we loved or desire. Gladness, exultation, exhilaration of spirits. Joy is a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. Bring heavenly balm to heal my country's wounds. So, let me add, we have a lot of people in the church, right? Not this church, but the church at large. They don't look at this. And it's a wonder why there's no joy. They think the only time that they'll be happy and that they can get in the presence of God is the physical presence of God, when they're there in heaven rejoicing. But if we'll get in the presence here, if we'll get in the presence here, because it's not just a sign to having, taking hold of, it's a sign to the expectation of good. So if I expect, if the only good I expect is when I get to heaven, then I will be a grumpy Gus. But if I know that God, my God, wants me to be joyful in my life today,
yes.
That's an expectation now. If we go to John 16:24, I don't know what happened just there. John 16. Oh, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And back up to 23 for me. Please and thank you. 22. Please, thank you. So Jesus is telling them that that he's going to leave, right? Everybody understand that?
Yes.
All right. And then, yeah, I'll start here. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Next.
Amen.
And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you.
Amen.
Next.
Amen.
Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now,
amen.
I want to put this out there. Y'all know that Jesus died and rose again and that he was seen on the earth, right?
That's right. Yes.
And they rejoiced then. And then is when the new covenant, our covenant, took effect. I was talking to Billy about this just a few minutes ago, or right before church. The old covenant ends at Jesus' death and burial. The new covenant, even though it's in the Gospels are in the New Testament, the new covenant did not take effect until ascension.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. He's describing the new covenant here. Because no longer do we pray to God through priests and through the rabbis, through the Levites. We come to God ourselves in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what this is saying. And he wants your joy to be full.
Yes.
Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So if we take that scripture and we mix it with the definition of what joy is, it is safe to say that we have an expectation that what we ask God for, whether it's for healing, whether it's for victory, whether it's for financial breakthrough, that we will have the things we ask for, that our joy may be full. The only caveat that I don't have here is that when you pray for it, you have to ask or believe that you received it. Because we're all guilty of that, myself included. God, please show me the way to do this. It'd be cool if he did, right? That's doubt. Because you didn't. If you say things like that afterwards, you didn't believe it when you asked. It's not yours. All right, so if that's what you say after, you didn't believe it in the beginning. It's not yours. My current job is a perfect example. So as a crippled, I broke my back working at my previous job, and I was praying for a new job because they weren't going to cut me off of money, but I had to go back to work. I couldn't have Heather making more money than I was. In all reality, and don't take that wrong, but that makes a man feel less than a man. But she was working and I was home. I was a stay-at-home dad. I was crippled. Ireland was learning to crawl and she could get away from me, and the only hope I had was my cane. Not to hit her, but so I can reset the baby. We had begun coming to church, and the pastors offered OSL. And so we did OSL, and I was out there and I was praying, and I prayed. I was like, hey God, if it's your will, that's our built-in excuse. It wasn't God's will. Okay? God, if it's your will, I really like this job. And it was with Chase, which is, you know, where I work. And I didn't get the job. I didn't. They went a different route. And I was talking to the pastors about this because I didn't understand it. And Pastor Tim had actually preached on this, the fact that if it's your will is our built-in scapegoat. God, if it's your will, you'll help me get this car. And then all we have to do is so our feelings and our faith don't get hurt when you don't get it. Well, that's not faith at all.
No.
That's building in the fact that it might not happen.
Right.
And if you build in the fact it might not happen, you didn't have it in the first place. There should be more happies about that. Because the opposite of that, and where the joy comes in, is the expectation that that which you ask for will be yours.
Yes.
Knowing in your heart that what you ask for is already yours.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Yes. You can do it.
Yes.
You can do it. Oh, yes. By the way, I did say I work at Chase. Not that I never got the job. But I learned how to pray properly.
Yes.
And I went to prayer. The job came back up and I applied again. And I went to prayer and I said, God, thank you for the job at Chase.
Amen.
That was like 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't just start there. It was mine.
Yes.
I knew it was. I didn't have a doubt in the world. God didn't want me lifting furniture anymore. He didn't break my back, so I wouldn't lift furniture anymore. Some people would say that. But an opportunity came up, and I said, God, thank you. Because
yeah.
I already had it.
Yeah.
I had already possessed it in the Spirit.
Amen.
And when you'll take possession of something in the Spirit, you will pull it out of the Spirit.
Amen.
And bring it into the physical.
Amen.
I don't walk with a cane anymore. That was something accomplished by prayer. And not saying, God, if it's your will, I'll lose this cane.
Amen.
You can ask, and if you believe it, God will give it to you.
Amen.
Not so you can go and be a goofball with it, but that your joy may be full.
Yes.
God wants your joy to be full.
Amen.
I put numbers by all these. Like, there's no second Romans, Clinton. Romans 14:17. Clinton. That's why I use the app to do this stuff. Like, it's all pointed. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit in the New King James. Righteousness and peace and joy. righteousness, and peace and joy. Joy is in the kingdom. In fact, it is what the kingdom is made of. Joy. Hallelujah. And peace. You can be extremely peaceful when you're in joy. And you can have a lot of joy when you're at peace. But why isn't everybody joyful? Why doesn't everybody have peace? Maybe they don't know the truth. Maybe they've been accustomed and taught for so long that you're going to have trials and tribulations in this life. It's just your lot. Guess what? There is, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but there's joy in those things. You can have peace in the midst of trouble. Or you can focus on the trouble. See, when we get into trouble, instead of focusing on God, we focus on the trouble.
Amen.
And I get it. I do. When I would wake up in the morning and I couldn't walk, it's real easy to focus on the fact that you can't walk. That just a simple move brings tears to your eyes. It's super easy to focus on those things. But what are you believing God for?
Amen.
Have you allowed the devil to lie to you so long that you can't refocus on God?
Come on.
To get straightened out again? So what I did is I would lay in bed and I could not get up on, I could not sit up. I couldn't. It wasn't happening. My right leg didn't work. And my left leg, I could move it, but it seared with pain. That's not joyful. But I focused on God and the fact that He had already performed the healing in my body. And I'd roll out of bed. You roll over. Get your legs to fall off the side, and now maybe you can set up because my arms still worked. So I could push myself up out of bed, and I would walk. To this day, the devil still tries every once in a while, because you know cold weather brings on that bone pain.
Or storm.
Or, oh, the rain's coming, I can feel it in my bones. No, you can feel the lie that the devil's trying to perpetrate against you. That's what you can feel. And I would get out of bed, I'd get dressed. But now it's the devil still, he knows I've been walking without a cane for years. But the devil still doesn't mind coming to me and saying, hey, there's that pain again. You know, you think you were healed, but really it's still there. And so I have to occasionally go through the same rigmarole I did when I couldn't walk, knowing full well that I'm healed. Because I will not allow the devil to take away the freedom I have. In that healing, in that peace, because God gave it to me, so my joy will be full. Nehemiah 8, please, verse 10. Over and over in Scripture, it says that His joy is our strength. Right here it is, right? Then He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In this, is all the freedom you'll need. We want to go on our own strength. I can soldier through. I can make it. No. The reality is you'll never make it.
That's right.
As harsh as that sounds. Outside of God, you will never make it. I don't care what the world says. I know people with plenty of means that have houses and all this that they don't have Jesus. The only thing I pray for them is that they'll have Jesus.
Amen.
But my expectation is that that is all just the facade. Happiness, they can have the world's happiness. They can have the world's joy and all the things. But when it all comes crashing down, they'll blame God. They always do. How could God let this happen? What? Yesterday you didn't even believe in God. My God didn't let this happen. The devil did that to you. The devil took that from you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If I told you all you had to do was get happy, read, and worship God to be strong, would you be willing? Well, we say that. We do say that. I say it. But what about the times when you're weak? You really are weak. Because I don't know about you guys, but me, myself, there are times where I am so beaten that getting into the Word and worshiping God, I'm tired. I could barely even think. I just can't do it right now. And there are times when I talk myself out of, this may be hard for you to grasp because I'm Clinton, right? No, not really. But there are times where I just can't bring myself to get into God's strength. Whether it's I don't feel like being happy, because we've all said that, right? Your wife goes, come on, laugh a little. You're like, I don't feel like laughing. I had a bad day at work. They mistreated me. They called me names. I had this woman yell at me and spit at me. Okay, how's that working out for you? I'm angry about it. Did you talk to God? Yeah, I told him he should make that lady crash on her way home. It's not what I'm talking. Do we get it?
Yes.
Not that you should do that. And okay, I may have said some bad things just a couple days ago. And Heather's like, that is not, no, you wouldn't. No, I would. No, you wouldn't. And as soon as I got off the phone with her, I turned on my go-to praise and worship songs. And by the time I was in Golden Valley, which was just a couple seconds later, I was good.
Amen.
That quick.
Yeah.
That quick. Just a quick turn. Hallelujah, son. Just like that. Because I was mad about it. I'm not going to bring it up, but I was mad. Heather, tell you. I was off the rails. And it was unnecessary. Some of you might right now be like, yeah, Clinton, but that's easy for you. It's easy for you to say. You got it all right. You're super handsome. You're losing weight. Have a wonderful looking wife. I mean, you got it all, bud. It's not. It's not that easy, guys. We all mess up. But just like that day, going over Coyote Pass, it's real easy to just flip the switch, get back in the joy of the Lord. To get that strength build up inside of you, to get that peace, because it does. There, love, right? Yes. If I got out of love,
yes.
But as soon as he was out of my sight, I could love him again, right? It's because I'm just joking. As soon as I got into the presence of God,
yes.
The joy came.
Amen.
Peace. I had I could care less what happened from then on. Patience. Right? It was just, I was just in a good place. I took God's word for what it was. Get in his presence and you'll be full of joy.
Amen.
There's victory in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's freedom in his presence. But it's easy to just give up and not do those things. It's easy to stay angry. I have never struggled staying angry. I wonder why. Probably because it's the design. The devil has perpetrated a huge lie against the people. They either don't believe he exists, or Christians have behaved in such a way that the goodness of God is no longer displayed.
Amen.
My God's a good God. If you're not serving a God of peace and a God of forgiveness and a God of love, you are not serving the Christian God.
Amen.
I promise you, you're serving someone else. You may have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you still hate on people on a regular and say it's God's will that you hate them, you are serving the world system, and you are serving Satan's desires. We cannot be possessed. But if we don't guard our hearts, we can 100% be influenced and pushed. And that's what's happening today. Is the church is being influenced and pushed by the enemy. Stand against that stuff. Get into joy. Get into peace. 11:13. I'm going to read a couple just really quick. I'm just going to go through them. You can write them down. Psalm 94:19. Psalm 30:11. I'm sorry, I'll give you some time. These three are all in Psalm. So 94:19, 30:11, and 33:21. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. That's 94:19. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I'm reading these out of the Amplified Classic. I'm sorry. Psalm 33:21. Oops, went too far. 33:21. For in him does our heart rejoice because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in his holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremiah 15:16 talks about getting in the word. And in his word there is joy. Psalm 16:8-9 talks about keeping the Lord always first in your life. 1 Chronicles 16:27 talks about visiting him often. And I blew through those because I want to go to Zephaniah 3:17. Excuse me. It says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exalt over you with singing. I think it's the New King James. Let me see. Maybe it's... I forget which version. It says that he sings loudly over you. We have a God that loves us so much that in our pain and in our sorrow, in our grief, he sings loudly over us. He sings his blessings over you. He sings his desires over you. He comforts your soul. That's our God. He will rejoice over you with singing. The creator of music sings to you. Whether it's a love song, all I know that it's God's voice singing over you, singing the blessing over you, singing words that angels understand and maybe we don't. He does that for, it doesn't give a time. It doesn't say that he rejoices over you sometimes, that he sings over you on Thursdays. It just says that he will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Close your eyes. Our God rejoices over us with singing. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you. Our giving Father, our loving Father. So, just for a moment, Billy, will you put that first song on that design, please? The first song that I had you play this morning for prayer? Put that on for a minute. And mute it in the live, or just cut the live stream, that's fine. Just for a minute, would you focus on God's words? Would you focus on the fact that he's singing over you? Just a minute.
Nothing here is
hid.
You're our one desire. Only you, Jesus.
Something that
Jesus,
you've been asking
your
God
name
about.
Oh, it fills the room. Jesus,
and you want a point of contact.
Jesus, Jesus,
you can come forward, and we'll pray for you.
Jesus,
now open the altar.
Jesus,
and if you want to come up, and you're not really looking for prayer,
Jesus,
you just want to come up. Just get in his presence.
Jesus,
come forward.
Jesus, Jesus, wonderful.
be here.